Page 26. There it is. Okay. We're going to start three lines into the wide lines. Okay, where the lines get wide. The Gemara asks a contradiction. One pasuk says, "Udmus Paneihem." We're talking about God's throne. So one pasuk says that the images on the throne of God, one was the face of a person, Upnei Arbe al Yamin Larbatam, and the lion was on the right of the four, Pnei Sher Me'asmer Larbatam, and the face of an ox was on the left. And that's one pasuk. And another pasuk says, V'arba Panim La'echad, it had four faces, Pnei Echad Kruv, one was a Kruv, and we'll see what a Kruv is, Pnei Sheni, Pnei Adam, the second was a person, Vashlishi, Pnei Ayyad, the third one was a lion, V'arviya, Pnei Nesher, and the fourth one was an eagle, V'ilu Shard, Le'kochoshiv. But he doesn't mention in the second pasuk that one face was an axe. The Gemara asks as follows, in one throne of God, it says one of the animals on the throne was an axe. In the second pasuk, it replaces axe for a Kruv. For a Kruv, we'll see what a Kruv is. So the Gemara asks, why is one pasuk excluding ox and one pasuk includes ox? Amar Ish Lakish says, Yecheskel Bikur Shel Avrachamim, Yecheskel asked mercy from Hashem, V'afachei L'Kruv, and God changed the face from an ox to a Kruv. Why? Because Amar L'Fanav, Yecheskel said to Hashem, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the World, Katega Yasas Hanega, can the prosecutor act as a defendant? So what happened? So God said, you're right, I'm going to change it from an ox to a Kruv. Now,
what?
Kruv. We're going to see in a second what a Kruv is. One second, the Gemara is going to ask what a Kruv is. Now, the Gemara basically saying, on God's throne, which obviously refers to revelations of godliness and the relationship between the Jews and God. So, Yechezkel said to God, in the earlier throne, in Yeshaya's time, there was an axe as one of the animals on the throne. He said to God, you know, an axe is not a good thing to do, because an axe will remind God of the sin of the golden calf. Because what's a calf? A baby axe. So when God looks at the axe on the throne, he's going to remind himself, so to speak, of the golden calf, which instead of forgiving the Jewish people, will get God angry. We find a similar thing. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, normally wore 8 garments, most of them were gold. When he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he went into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, he wore complete white. So the Gemara says, why doesn't he wear the regular golden garments? So it says he's going into the Holy of Holies to get forgiveness for the golden calf. He should go in with gold. It's like the prosecutor becoming the defense attorney.
Doesn't he wear
shatnez? Yeah, but he's allowed to. Correct. But to say it's on the Merkava, on the throne of God, it's a problem. And the Mefarshim explain, interestingly, because the Merkava, the throne of God, was used as an agent to ask God forgiveness to the Jewish people. So Yechezkel said, what are you having a face of an axe? So the Gemara says, God changed it to a Kruv. So the Gemara says, my Kruv. What is a Kruv? Amar Rav Abu, it means Kravya, a child. She came by Bavel, because in the city, in the country of Bavel, Kedon LeYanuka, they would call a young kid, they would call him Ravya. So what is Kruv? In fact, we read it not long ago, and the Ark, on top of the Ark in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Shnei HaKruvim. Kruvim, the Gemara defined over here, were two faces of children. Two faces of children were, so God changed the face of the shor to make it the face of a kruv, make the face of a child. So the Gemara says, Amalei la papa la bayim, it doesn't make sense. Why? Now that it says in the pasuk, Pnei ha'echad, pnei kruv. One face was the face of a kruv. Vasheni, the second face, is pnei adam. The third face was a lion. The fourth face was an eagle. So, Hainu Pnei Kruv, Hainu Pnei Adam. Kruv, you're basically saying, is a human face. So what's the difference between the face of Adam and the face of a Kruv if they're both human? So the Gemara answers, Aper Avreve, Aper Zutre. One refers to a big face, meaning an adult face, and one refers to a kid's face. So the Gemara says as follows, that Hashem changed the axe to the face of a Kruv, which means the face of a baby. Another face is Adam. It doesn't matter. One's the big face and one's the little face. Okay, so now it says, the Mefarshim explain, why did God change the axe? Okay, he didn't want an axe because an axe is in the mand of the golden calf. Why did he change it though to a face of a baby? Change it to a face of whatever. I mean, why it's the face of a baby? So it says, because in the first base of Mikdash, the Jews were forgiven for the golden calf. If they were forgiven for a golden calf, they became like a Baal Tshuva, becomes like a newborn baby. So by making the face of a baby on the Merkava, it shows that the Jews were forgiven and they became like newborn babies. A newborn baby has a clean slate, no sins. So that's why God wanted to show that the Merkava was forgiving the Jewish people for the Avedas by making it into a face of a kid. Now the Gemara continues. I just want to say one more thing. The Gemara is going to talk now about the wings of the angels. You know, when you see pictures of angels, whatever, they have wings on them. It's based on Psukim in Tanakh. It says in Tanakh they had wings. But you have to understand, it doesn't mean physical wings that, like, birds have. You know what I mean? It's not the angelic faces with wings. It's spiritual dimensions of wings. And we'll see in the Gemara what it means.
Rabbi, during the Sinatra era, one of the most famous lines in popular music was, if I had wings of an angel.
Yeah. He didn't learn this Gemara, that's why. Cause of Echad Emer, the Gemara asks a contradiction. One
pasuk,
it's okay. One pasuk says, Sheish Knafayim, Sheish Knafayim. One pasuk says that each one of the angels had six wings. Okay? And it says, two would cover its face, two would cover its legs, two would fly and call to one another. That's what the pasuk continues. But the pasuk basically over here says that the angels have six wings. Because of Echad Emer, yet another pasuk says, Arba panim le'echos. They had four faces. Va'arba k'nafayim le'achos mehem. And each angel had only four wings. So the question is, one pasuk says the angels had six wings. And another pasuk says the angels had four wings. So like, which one is it? So the Gemara answers, Le'kashya. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, Isaiah Yeshaya saw the pasuk, the angels in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so they had six wings. Yecheskel, on the other hand, was at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so then they only went down to four wings. Meaning, so to speak, the wings of the angels got less. So instead of six wings, it went down to four wings. Now, obviously, the Gemara is going to discuss what this means a little bit. But again, wings, just to give you a Hasidic concept of wings. For instance, a bird has wings. Okay, that we see. Birds have wings. The bird itself can exist without wings. A bird can exist without wings. What is the purpose of a wing? Yeah, there's another Gemara there. By the way, you used to have 10 of these. Now there's only 9. I don't know what happened.
Someone is learning at home, probably.
Yeah. The one that says Chagig at the bottom. Who knows where that one is either. To give you an example of wings, not by angels, the Hasidic definition of wings, as far as in the spiritual realm, a bird has wings. it's what's called, you clip the wings, you take off, to cut the wings off the bird, in the halacha, is able to live. Meaning, it's considered a kosher bird, you can shecht it and eat it, even though it's missing the wings. Because the life of the bird is not dependent on the wings. What do wings accomplish that the bird can fly? That means if you want the bird to fly upward,
to soar high,
it needs wings. Now, the same thing is when you do a mitzvah. You have the body of the mitzvah, and you have the wings of the mitzvah. What is the body of the mitzvah? The body of the mitzvah is the action of the mitzvah. You put on tefillin, you did an action, that's the body of the mitzvah. What's the wings of the mitzvah? The wings of the mitzvah is doing it with love and fear. Love is called the right wing. Fear is called the left wing. When a person does a mitzvah without any feeling whatsoever, he still did the mitzvah. But if you want the bird to fly high, you want the mitzvah to fly soar high to God, you need right wing and left wing. When you're speaking about angels having six wings, the Gemara is going to discuss later exactly what that means. You know, what's the cheshbon? Six wings? Why six wings? Why four wings? What do you mean? But obviously you're talking about, because angels, by the way, every physical substance, this is how Rebbe says in Tanya, by the way, every physical substance in the world is composed of four elements. And this is very, and to understand this whole spiritual Gemara, we have to understand the certain basic concepts. Every physical object in the world is composed of four elements. Fire, air, earth, and water. Okay? Angels, the body of an angel is composed not of earth and water, which are the more physical elements. The angels' bodies, it says, are composed of fire and water. Fire and wind, I'm sorry. I meant fire and wind. Fire and air. But people, our bodies are more physical because we're composed of earth and water also. But angels have a spiritual body. So therefore, even though they have a body, it's not physical wings that, you know, they're flying around the world. It means there's a spiritual revelations of godliness in the angels that symbolize through wings. So the Gemara asks the question. One pasuk says the angels have six wings. Another pasuk says the angels have four wings. How could it be? So the Gemara says simple. During the Beis Hamikdash, because the problem over here is there's two thrones. There's Yeshaya's vision of the throne, and there's Yechezkel's vision of the throne. By Yeshaya it says the angels have six wings, and Yechezkel's version it says it has four wings. So the Gemara says, how can it be what's the answer to the contradiction? So the Gemara answers, Yeshaya lived in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash there was a greater revelation of godliness, so the angels had six wings. Yechezkel, the people on a lower level, was at the time of the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, so the angels only had four wings. No, the Kruvim are the faces on the throne of God.
But they also have wings?
In the Beis Hamikdash, they had wings. Yes. Because they're like face of kids, but angels. That's how the Medrash describes the Kruvim.
We're going to put wings on you when you're going to fly.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Hei minayo imit, which wings were reduced? Which wings were reduced? So it says, Amar Rav Chananel, Amar Rav. Rav Chananel said the name of Rav, Eitz and Shemeter Shira Bahem. The wings are the ones that the angels sing praise with. So because it wasn't such a great revelation of God, it minimized the praises. Ksiv Hachah, well, how do we know this? Because here it says in Yeshaya, B'shtayim Ya'ef, if with two it would fly, they would call one to another. And another pasuk says, Hasoev enecha bay. If you cast your eyes upon it, veinenu, and it's gone. Meaning that the wings that were used for flying and singing, praise to God, those two wings were diminished. So therefore, in the first Beis Hamikdash, they had six wings. After the Beis Hamikdash, the angels had four wings. But Rabbanan Amri and the Rabbanan said, you know which two wings were missing? The two wings that covered their feet. Because the pasuk said before as follows. What do these six wings of the angels do? Two cover its face, two cover its legs, and with two they fly and sing praise. So Rav says, which angels are missing in the second base of Migdosh? Which wings? The wings of singing and flying. But that's what Rav says. The Rabbanan say no. The wings that cover their feet, those are missing in the time of Yechezkel. Why? Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'raglehem regul yeshora, their legs were a straight leg. Meaning, the two became one. So the Gemara says, but v'ilav de'imit, and if they wouldn't be less, minohav yoda, how would Yechezkel know what the legs looked like if they were always covered? If the wings always covered the legs, and the wings were there, how did Yechezkel know how the feet of the angels look? By the way, this is a very interesting concept. You know why you put your feet together when you daven? Certain parts of davening? Because of this pasuk. The pasuk says angels, their feet is one straight foot. When we daven, we want to act like angels. So we put our feet together that the two feet should become one. That's why when you daven, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, you don't have to put your feet together. Kedusha, Shemoneh Esrei, you put your feet together. Why? To look like angels whose feet are one. So the Gemara says, if the feet of the angels were covered with wings, how did Yechezkel know that the wings were covered, that the legs are one leg? So obviously, they weren't covered. Why weren't they covered? Because Hashem took away those two wings in the time of Yechezkel that covered the legs. Huh? Oh, one second. So the Gemara asks, what's the question? Dilmi galo v'chazala. Maybe the legs were picked, the covering of the wings were picked up for a second, and he saw the legs. How did you know that they were taken away? Maybe they just picked up for a second. And he says, I'll even prove it to you. Because if you're not going to say that they sometimes revealed themselves, it says in the pasuk, Udmuz Pneam, the faces of the angels. Pnei Adam look like people, but the wings covered the face. So how did he know how the face looked like? So therefore we must say, Ella, the Igloi v'chazulei, they revealed the face and he saw it. Hachanami, so here too by the legs, Igali, he saw it, v'chazulei, and they revealed it and he saw it. Now you have to understand that the wings weren't flapping around like birds, and all of a sudden the legs showed and the face showed. Obviously, this is ridiculous even to think that. The wings symbolize the concealment of various revelations of godliness. There's the head revelation of godliness, there's the hand revelation of godliness, and there's the feet revelation of godliness. It's self-understood that the head symbolizes a greater revelation than the hands or the feet. Now, if you're saying that they covered the face, meaning the concept of wings are the level of tzimtzum, the concealment of the godly revelation from God's face, so to speak. But nevertheless, they were revealed every so often, and therefore he was able to see what the revelation of God's face was. The same thing, sometimes the legs were covered, meaning that level of godliness was covered, that level of godliness was not revealed into the world, but sometimes it was unrevealed, uncovered, and they were able to see that revelation of godliness. What?
What about the shelter of your wings?
The shelter of your wings over there means the protection of the wings. Based on the Gemara here, the Gemara seems to imply that the wings symbolize a covering of godliness. Now, it depends again in the context. When you're speaking about God should shelter us on your wings, like we say, you know, davening, in a kel mali rachamim, you shelter, you know, protect and shelter us, it means just like when a bird carries something on its wings, it's sheltered from the lower birds or from the arrows of people trying to shoot down the birds. But it means God should protect us. But again, there's no way that it means here in a simple sense of all of this stuff. In fact, Taisus over here asks another interesting question. The Gemara asks the contradiction. One pasuk says the angels have six wings. Another pasuk says the angels have four wings. Right? The contradiction. So Taisus says, is that really a contradiction? One pasuk is speaking about angels called Chayes, and one pasuk is speaking about angels called Srafim. So there are two different types of angels. So what's the contradiction? So Taisus says, logically, all the angels had the same amount of wings. So if these had four, these had four. Okay.
You mean these had four, these had six?
Well, no, the Gemara's question was, if these have four, these should have four. If these have six, they should have six. So why does one have six and one have four? Now the Gemara says, Hachi hashtu, what's the comparison? Bishlema api mele, the face, orech ada loguya kamerabi. It's etiquette to reveal your face in the presence of your master. You know, if you wear a veil, you don't wear a veil in the presence of your Rebbe. You take off the veil, then you should see your face. But kari, but the legs, lav orech ada legali kamerabi, but you can't reveal the legs. What's the Gemara answering? The Jalsik, they uncovered the legs, because we must say that, because how did they uncover the face? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Uncovering the face is a proper thing to do. Uncovering the legs is not a proper thing to do. So maybe they uncovered the face, but not uncovered the legs. So the Gemara says, the Gemara remains by a question. Therefore, the Gemara's conclusion is that if Yecheskel saw the legs of the angels, we must say that the wings that covered the angels were the ones that disappeared. By Yeshaya, there were wings covering the legs. In the days of Yecheskel, those two wings disappeared. Huh? Because there was much less Kedusha. If there's less Kedusha, there's less wings. But the covering is still a level of revelation of godliness through the wings. Yeah, that's what he's saying also. But it can't mean that, obviously, because we're talking about the fact that in the time of Yecheskel there was less Kedusha. So the fact that there were less wings doesn't show a greater level of revelation, it shows a greater level of concealment. Then the Gemara asks a different question, also about angels. How many angels are there? How many angels are there? So the Gemara says, huh? One second. Kasev echad eimer, one pasuk, the Gemara has a contradiction. One pasuk says in Daniel, elef alafim, thousand thousands, Yisham Shemuni serving him, v'ribu revava, and 10,000 times 10,000, kadama you come and stand before him. Meaning Hashem says, how many angels are there? 1,000,000, which is 1,000,000, and 10,000 times 10,000. So whatever it is, that's how many angels there are. And kasev echadayim, yet another pasuk says, hayesh mispa l'gdudav, is there a number to angels? So one pasuk says there's infinite angels. Another pasuk says there's 1,000,000, 10,000, 10,000. That's limited. How can you reconcile these two pasukim? By the way, it's interesting. How many neshamas are there?
Three million. Maybe 600,000?
Well, 600,000. One second. There's 600,000 neshamas, general. And in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe quotes that each one is composed of 600,000. And each one of those is a neshama. That means there's 360 billion neshamas. Okay? I think that's 600,000, if you take the zeros, whatever. I think it's 360 billion. Now, Malachim...
Yeah. How does someone know that? There was 3 million people at Sinai.
So... There are 600,000 men between 20 and 60.
Yeah.
Those were the general neshamas.
Where are they? All in heaven?
30 miles up.
Some are here, some are not here.
Some are here, some are there.
Don't all the neshamas have to come down before Mashiach?
Yeah, that's a question. How does it work?
How does it work? That sounds like too many.
But that's what Alter Rebbe says in Tanya. 600,000 times 600,000. So it's 36 plus how many zeros? No?
Won't
give you that many zeros.
It'll be 10 zeros. It's with 10 zeros.
It no, 10 zeros. Whatever 10 zeros is.
10 zeros.
I don't know. Anyway, but here the Gemara is not talking. One second. The Gemara here is not talking about neshamas. Here the Gemara is talking about angels. So the Gemara asks a contradiction. One pasuk says there's infinite angels, and another pasuk says 1,000, 1,000, 10,000, 10,000. So the Gemara answers Leikashim. Kan bizman she beis hamikdash kayam, in the time of the beis hamikdash, there was infinite angels. Kam bizman she ain beis hamikdash kayam. The other one speaking when there's no beis hamikdash, meaning in the time of a greater revelation, there's more angels. Less revelation, less angels. So the Gemara says, Kaviyachol, so to speak, Shinismata Pamaya Shamaila, the heavenly court was reduced based on the fact that it was in Golos. And then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Emir Mishum Abba Yesi Ben Dusoy, Elif Alofim, and this is the answer, by the way, Chassidus always brings down, is this answer, the Gemara. Elif Alofim Yishum Shemeni, this that it says 1,000, 1,000, 10,000, 10,000, Mispa Gdud Echot. That's the amount in one legion. Or the Gdud of Ein Mispa. But how many legions are there? Infinite. Meaning, one second, the 1,000, 1,000, 10,000, 10,000, that's the amount of one group of angels. How many groups are there? Infinite. So that's the amount of angels.
Maybe thousand thousands is also just
exaggeration.
Exaggeration. To say plenty, so they say thousands, thousands.
I don't know. But the Gemara is going to soon. The Gemara is going to soon talk about people creating angels and how long angels live. Most of them die right away.
I never heard that. I thought they lived forever.
Well, you didn't hear everything right. In Sinatra's song, it doesn't say they died. So the Gemara answers so far two answers. One is, during the Beis HaMikdash, there was infinite. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, less. One answer is, no, there is really infinite angels. One, the pasuk that says the amount refers to one group of angels, but there's infinite groups. Rabbi Yemir bar Abba Amar, Elef Alof Yisham Shemeni, this that says the 1,000, 1,000 were serving him, refers to the angels by the Nar Dinur. Nar Dinur is a fire of the river of fire. And he says, Shenemar, Nahar Dinur, Naged, the stream of fire was flowing forth. Elef Alof Mishishemeni, 1,000, 1,000 serve me. Veribir Avavah Kadama Yukumin, and tens of thousands, myriads and myriads stand before him. So the Gemara says, basically, that the Malachim come out from Nar Dinur, from a fire. So the Gemara says, Mehech Nafik, where does it emerge from? So it says, Mizayosin Shal Chayis, from the perspiration of the Chayis. Meaning, when the Malachim sing praise to God, so their fire comes out and does something to the angels. Ulehech and Shafach, where does it get emptied onto? Aresh Rishoyim, on the heads of the wicked in Gehenim. That means the fire that comes out from the Malachim when they're singing praise to God burns the wicked people in Gehenim. Shenemar, Hine Saras Hashem Chema, the storm of Hashem is a fury. Vesar Mitzchelol, and the tempest shall seek rest. Aresh Rishoyim Yochel, it rests upon the head of the wicked. Those who were ordained. Mishinamar, Ashekumtu, those that were ordained before their time, nor Yutzik Yisedim, the foundation was swept away by a river. We're gonna see that in a minute. No.
Asking what ordained means?
I know what it means.
He's asking what it means here. Tanya explains. What does it mean? Listen.
Ordain you as a rabbi.
Amr Reb Shimon HaChosid. Reb Shimon HaChosid said, Elu Chameis Veshivim Va'arba Deiris. These are the 974 generations. Shakumta Libaris. That were ordained originally to be created and they weren't. Meaning like this. The Gemara is going to explain this as follows. It means there's a pasuk in davening, which we say every day, Asher tziva le'elef der, that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The Gemara says, the Medrash says in this pasuk, what is davar tziva le'elef der? Right at the beginning of davening in Haidu. What does it mean? Hashem, and again you have to understand what this means. Hashem's initial plan was to give the Torah after 1,000 generations. Davar tziva le'elef dor, to give it for 1,000th generation. God was planning to give the Torah after 1,000 generations. God saw that the world can't exist so long without Torah. So God made the Torah given. The Torah is 26 generations after the world started. 10 from Adam to Noach, Noach to Avram, Avram to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was the 7th, so from Avram. So after 26 generations, God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. So now the question is, there were supposed to be 1,000 generations. God gave it after 26 generations. What happened to the other 974 generations? No, what happened to those people? So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem got up. He planted them in every generation. Who are these people that are existing in every generation from those 900? Those are the Azi Panim Shebedar, the Chutzpen Yaks, the Chutzpedika people, the brazen people of every generation. They all live in Israel. No. No, what are you talking about?
I know people in Ashur who have chutzpah. That's all they have.
That sounds a little contradictory to free will.
1 second. See, there's a whole thing over here. Rashi says, according to one opinion, not the shoslon. Shoslon means God planted them. There's a Rashi's version in the Gemara is the tirdon. Rashi says, meaning not that God planted them, but God dumped them, so to speak. Meaning, drove them out and put them into Gehenna. One opinion is, God took all those generations, put them into Gehenna. Another opinion is, in the Gemara version of the Gemara, is that God took them and planted, spread them out over all generations. Every generation should have some of those people. Correct. Correct. But Taisa says, Vitema. Tosfos asked the question on Rashi's opinion that says these people were put into Gehenim. So Tosfos over here, if you see on the side, the fourth line of Tosfos, Tosfos of Etema, v'chi oved dina b'lei dina. How can God punish without judgment? V'chi ma poshu. What did they sin to be in Gehenim? You can't just dump people in Gehenim like you asked. You asked Tosfos' question. Tosfos' question is, what do you mean God put them into Gehenim? What did they do wrong to go to Gehenim? He can't just put something in Gehenna for the fun of it. Right. So, what did they do, Tosfos asked. Therefore, Tosfos learns, it doesn't mean tardon in Gehenna. It means that God spread them out. Meaning, he didn't create them all together, because then they'll destroy the world with their evil. God planted them in every generation. Just like it says that, in the second page of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe calls the Medrash that says, "Ruach Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'tzadikim sheimu atim." God foresaw that tzadikim are going to be very few. Amad v'shoslim b'chol dor v'dor. God planted them in every generation. He didn't want to make all tzadikim in one generation and other generations nothing. So God took the neshamas of tzadikim and spread them out throughout the generations. The same thing with the evil. God spread them out around the world.
What makes the
neshamas
evil?
Because the neshamas, yep. Yes. here he brings down a Tiferet Yisrael that wants to say that the 974 generation did exist in a physical sense, but not in human form. What can that mean? I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what... Correct.
I don't get it.
I don't either. It makes two of us.
Not even in the 100th generation, even now. How many generations are we? We're not even in the, from the beginning to 100. How many generations is it from?
From Moshe Rabbeinu, until the end of the Gemara, the Rambam enumerates all 40 generations. Okay? So the end of the era of the Gemara, let's say, rough estimate, is 1,500 years. And the 40 generations also span from the year 2448 after creation to, let's say, 2,000 years ago, which is... No, 1,500 years ago, which would be the year 4,000. So 1,500 years is approximately 40 generations. Right? So we're about 80 generations.
From Sinai.
Well, so add another 14, add another 20. But we ain't nowhere near 1,000. Well, that's what the Gemara is discussing. What happened to those things? So either, in other words, we learned many times. You know, right before Adar Zamuna, you have heard Hashem Kitev Kilam Chaste, Leisin Fozeres Levadi Kilam Chaste, Yishib Shivlein Zochon Kilam Chaste. Okay. In the city, you see there's a Yud, and a Hey, and a Vav, and a Hey. Okay. Why is there Yud Hey Vav Hey there? Because they're corresponding with Yud Kei Vav Kei. In that parak of Tehillim, it's a parak of Tehillim. There's 26 psukim with the word Kila Elam Chazdei. Okay? So because God's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, so there's, after 10 psukim, there's a Yud. You don't say it, you're just supposed to think it. There's 10 psukim, you say Yud, I think Yud, next 5 Hey, next 6 Vav, and the next Hey. But the Medrash says, why did David HaMelech write that parak of Tilim with 26 Kila Elam Chazdei? Literally, Heidel Hashem Kitev means, praise God, He's good. Kila elam chazde. Look in the English, His kindness is forever. Or forever is His kindness.
Everlasting.
Everlasting. Right? What is the everlasting is His kindness. What is simply Kila elam chazde simply means? Hashem's chesed is elam forever. The Medrash interprets no. And Chassidus elaborates on this. Kila elam chazde doesn't only mean His kindness is everlasting. Kila elam, this, that there's a world. Chazdei is His chesed. What does it mean? After God gave the Torah to the Jews, God says the existence of the world is dependent on Torah. You accept Torah, there's a world. You don't accept Torah, there's no world. But God made a condition with the world at the beginning of creation. That if the Jews will accept the Torah, the world will stand. If they don't accept the Torah, the world's not going to extend. To stand, to exist. But that happened 26 generations after the world was created. What made the world exist for 26 generations until Matan Torah? So David HaMelech is saying 26 times Ki La'olam Chazdei means this, that the world has existed. Ki La'olam. This, that there's a world. Chazdei was the kindness of Hashem. Because it was before any Aveda of Torah Mitzvahs, before Jews doing Torah Mitzvahs. Now that there's Torah Mitzvahs, that makes the world exist. Now obviously, as some of the Mefarshim want to say, you couldn't say there are 1,000 generations. Because like you said, it doesn't make sense that should we even have more than a few hundred. Whatever. You know what I mean? 40, 60, from the beginning of creation until the end of the Gemara, is 60 generations. right? So say even another 60 generations, 120 generations. And they lived longer also, whatever, but still, more than 300 generations we don't have. So what do you mean, David Tzivil Elevdur? Obviously, it's not only in the physical sense. Hashem took those neshamas and planted them, or put them again, and whatever.
How many years in one generation?
Officially 35. In halacha, it's 35 years a generation. It depends on generation. From Adam to Noach was not 350 years. It was much more. What?
The same Tater was given. Tater was created 974 generations before the world. 2,000?
Alpaim Shana.
Alpaim Shana.
2,000 years. But it means 2,000 levels. Okay. What?
In other words, the fact that those generations
weren't created. That's what Taisus says. What it means is, Tardon doesn't mean put him into Gehenim.
Right.
Tardon means he spread them out around the generations. So basically, both things, Shoslin.
But they're not considered evil.
Right.
Well, they're evil
because he says also that they shouldn't destroy the world where they're evil. It means they have the potential of evil. They have the potential of evil. You're not punished for the potential. Listen, there are certain people that are born with tendencies of stealing. You're not punished for that tendency of stealing. The punishment is if you actually steal.
But we have that concept in punishment Torah.
The what?
It's not that may turn out to be evil.
That's already, but the guy started doing crimes. That guy, Ben Sarah Murrah, who, the rebellious son who started crimes, not the potential of, he actually did crimes. So the Gemara said, the way he's heading, he's going to end up killing somebody and getting killed, you know. He should.
But it doesn't sound any different.
In secular law, by the way, they don't have this. And I'm not mixing into the judges. You know, this 13-year-old kid that banged his car into the cop cars and they shot him dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right? And there's a whole ta-ra-la, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah? Off the record. And then don't tell the Schweizers I said this. Off the record, no, it's okay, it's fine. The Schweizers listen to the internet. The truth is, a kid at 13 that could ram his car into the police car, at 16 is going to kill somebody. Right? So you might as well kill him before he kills somebody.
Yeah, well, we never enforced that anyway.
You know? I'm saying, one opinion says Ben Sarah Mary never happened because the details, the way the Torah, the father and mother have to sound exactly alike. You know, everything has to be exactly alike. So it was just, not that the rebellious son doesn't exist. You have a lot of rebellious kids. But all the details of the laws of Ben Sefer Meir don't exist. Okay. That's one interpretation. One interpretation of all this is that Hashem put him into the world. Rav Nachman Yitzchok answers, what does it mean? Ashekum to Levracha. The God cut them down, meaning as a blessing. Not ordained. Before we said it meant ordained. So the Gemara said, what does ordained mean? The Gemara said that they were, you know, put into the thousand generation. And he says, what does it mean, cut down as a blessing? Elu tamidei chachamim. These refers to scholars. Shemakamtin atzman al divrei Torah be'olam hazeh. Who cut down on their sleep in this world to learn Torah? God reveals secrets in the world to come. In other words, this is Gemara is transforming this to a mamish opposite interpretation, a positive one. One, the pasuk said before, come to, we defined as ordained. So the Gemara said, what do you mean ordained? So the Gemara answers that the God, you know, spread them out amongst all the nations. Here, Gemara is answering a different answer. Come to means when they made themselves little, meaning they slept little in this world, God revealed them secrets in the world to come. And the Gemara says about angels, next piece of Gemara says as follows. I just remember because the pasuk says, Nor Yutzik Yisaydim. Their revealed secrets will be like a pouring river. Okay. Amalei Shmuel Lechia Barav, Shmuel said to Chia, the son of Rav, he said, Bar Uriah, son of Torah, refers to a scholar. He said to him, Ta'em lach milsa, mahani milya malya sedava amir avuch. Let me tell you something beautiful your father said. Rav and Shmuel were buddies. They argued a lot, but they were very close friends. Rav had a son, Chia. So Shmuel said to Rav's son, come, let me tell you something nice your father once said. He said as follows, Kol yema every day, nivroim malachim, malachi ashoris mahar dinur. Every day, angels are created from the fire of Nahar Dinur. Va'amr shira, they utter songs to Hashem, and bubatli, they cease to exist. Why? Shenemah, because the pasuk says, Chadashim lapkarim, they are new every morning, great is your praise upon them. Now, a few angels exist permanently. Gabriel, Michal, Raphael, you know, the main guys, they're always around. Other angels are created and die right away. And he says, why? What's the difference? He says, the permanent angels, they don't start praising God until everybody does it together. Then they join in. These angels rush forth to sing out of order, and they bring destruction upon themselves.
How do you get to be a permanent angel?
Huh? Membership fee. Matt Costco, yeah. With a picture ID.
How do you get to be a permanent angel?
There were angels that are created by Hashem directly, not that, you know, people... It says every time you say Amen, you create an angel. Every time you daven, you know, your words create angels. Those are angels that are not the same level as these primary angels that Hashem created. On the fifth day of creation, it says God created the angels. But those were the permanent angels, not the California angels, by the way. Or Anaheim or L.A. or whatever they're called.
That's your argument, not mine.
Those are behemoths, not angels. So
No argument,
okay. So these permanent angels, they were created in a way that they're permanent. They're part of the throne of Hashem, and, you know, they bring in korbanos up there. They do a whole Aveda. These are temporary angels that people create, and they get burnt because they don't act properly. If they don't act properly, right away they destroy themselves. And it says, Upliga de Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni, and Rav, who says that these angels come from Nahar Dinur, argues in Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni. Why? Amen of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amen of Yenison, of Shmuel ben Achmeni says the name of Yenison, called Dibur v'Dibur. Sheyeitim mikadosh baruch hu, every word that comes from Hashem's mouth, nivrim mimenu malach echot. Create an angel. Shenemar, bidvar Hashem shemayim nasu, with the word of Hashem the heavens were made, uveruach piv, and with the word, the air, the breath of his mouth, called from come all the hosts, meaning all the angels. So the argument over here is, what is the argument? Tesis explains that one opinion says that angels were created by God's speech, and the other one says they were created from Nahar Dinur. The question, well, who creates the angels, God or Nahar Dinur? But both agree the angels that are created disappear right away. Then the Gemara asks another contradiction. One pasuk says, "Levusheho, his garment of God, so to speak, kitlag chivot, is white like snow. Usar reishi, and the hair of his head, kamar nakal, like clean wool, meaning white wool. Oksiv, and another pasuk says, kvutzeis of taltalim, his locks of hair are wavy, black as a raven. So, question: one pasuk says that God's hair is white. Another pasuk says God's hair is black. So the Goyim wouldn't have a problem. When God was young, his hair was black, and then he became older, his hair got white. I mean, that's the way a Goyim would answer it. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha. It's not a question. It's not a contradiction. Kam be yeshiva. When Hashem is teaching Torah, like in yeshiva, then he's like a white sage with a white beard. Kam be muchama. In Shira Shira, when Shlema Melech says that God's hair is black, is speaking b'melchama when God is fighting in battle. Because in battle, you need young. Now, the Amar Mad ain lechanav b'yeshiva. You have nothing better in a rabbinical academy. Elazakin, an older person. Vein lechanav b'melchama. There's nothing better in battle than bacha, than youth. You can't have an old guy fighting. You can't have a young guy learning. In other words, the Gemara says it depends. Again, not that God has hair, and sometimes it's white, and sometimes it's black, and sometimes God's blonde. It means when Hashem is doing Torah, so then God is like the sage. God reveals himself like a sage of white hair. When Hashem is fighting battles, then he looks like a young soldier. The revelation of godliness is with youth.
Rabbi, before we close tonight, I don't want to go home without your answer. Why are there quite a number of human beings, particularly feminine, who are called angels?
I can answer your question in a few ways. I know when we're in yeshiva in a certain city, I don't want to say where, the Rosh Yeshiva called a bachur malach, called him angel. He said, why? He said, because he's not a mensch. Not a mensch, he called him an angel. When you want to depict somebody acting properly, because angels don't sin. So you want to say he's an angel, meaning he doesn't sin. In other places, you might want to say he's an angel because he's not a mensch.
I'm thinking of people like my late wife and my mother, God rest their soul.
They were angels, but you weren't. Don't worry about it.
Well, I know I'm not.
Okay, so I mean...
I know I'm not.
That's not a...
You don't even have to ask him about that.
I know, so what's... It's not a discussion even.
I'm Al Capone's right-hand man. You know that.
I think Al Capone's your right-hand man. Anyway, Kosev Echad Eimer... The Gemara says, one pasuk says, I'm going to start this. Kosev Echad Eimer, one pasuk says, Kaseh Shevivin Dinur. His throne was fiery flames. And another one says, Adi Kaseh Rami Va'atik Kemen Yosef. I watched as the thrones were set up and the one of the ancient days sat. So the question is, how many thrones are there? One pasuk says there's one throne, and another pasuk says there are thrones. So is there one throne or is there many thrones? How many thrones are there? Like Asher, this is not a difficult. Echad loy ve'echad lo David. God says one throne's mine, one's for David HaMelech. Because in Tanya, like it says in the Braise, Echad loy ve'echad lo David, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, one throne belongs to God, one throne belongs to David HaMelech. Now listen to this. Amar Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Rabbi Yosi Aglili is Rabbi Akiva's friend, said to him, Akiva, Ad Masa Ata Eise Shechino Chil. How long more are you going to keep the divine presence as a physical entity? He said to them, both thrones are referring to God. In other words, you're saying that God has two thrones, one for him and one for David. So you're equalizing David and God. He said, what are you making God like David or Melech? He said, both refer to God. One is for justice and one is for righteousness. Meaning, there's a throne of chesed and there's a throne of gevurah. Both are gods. When God does chesed, it's called the throne of kindness. When God does strictness, it's called the throne of... But not that there's two thrones up there, by the way. There's no competition of the architects. It means, again, you like it.
Well said.
Thank you.